Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host for another side-splitting hour of classic radio comedy. For the next 2 weeks, we will feature one of the top comics of the 20th century, Fred Allen. His fans included the President of the United States, and other comedians sang his praises, including Jack Benny, Groucho Marx, and Edgar Bergen. This week, we have 2 half-hour Fred Allen shows from the 1940s. First, we have a show that features a star Fred Allen introduced to the public on his Town Hall Tonight amateur contest in the 30s, Frank Sinatra. By 1946, when this show aired, Sinatra was a big star and heartthrob for millions of young fans nicknamed Bobby Soxers. You'll enjoy his trading quips with Fred Allen, as well as his songs in this version of The Fred Allen Show, first broadcast October 21st, 1945 on NBC.
It isn't Hildegard, kiddies.
The makers of Tenderleaf Tea and Bluebonnet Margarine present The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, Frank Sinatra. Portland Hopper, Minerva Pyers is Mrs. Nussbaum, the Tenderleaf Workshop players, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And to the lady who sent me the anonymous fan letter, my name is Kenny Delmar. This week, ladies and gentlemen, our victorious naval forces have been coming home on battleships, cruisers, and carriers. Tonight, another flat top has just arrived, and here he is, Fred Allen!
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Kenny, I hope you are celebrating the fleet's return.
Oh, yes, Fred. Well, New York has gone all out to welcome the Navy.
Oh, I know. Last night, they had 80 men rocking the Astor Hotel to make the sailors feel at home who were sleeping there. And in that picture at Music Hall, you know, Weekend at the Waldorf, they took out Walter Pigeon and put in a seagull just for the Navy. Wish some of the Navy had come in to laugh at these jokes, you know.
Well, wasn't Jack Benny in the Navy, Fred?
Jack Benny in the Navy? Oh, that was before water was even invented. They had the H, but they were waiting for the two O's to come out of the Ark in those days. You know that Benny is the only sailor I know who can get seasick looking at a bundle of wet wash? Benny was in the only naval engagement of the Civil War.
Oh, you mean the Monitor and the Merrimack?
Benny was on the Monitor. When the lookout yelled, "Ahoy, the Merrimack's astern," Benny said, "Have them sing something." You think it would have worked better with four chicks and a chuck? If Benny was a sailor...
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland, You're just in time, Portland. Kenny and I were discussing the arrival of the Navy.
Oh, everybody's celebrating.
Oh, I know that.
Admiral Halsey was on Bob Hope's program last week.
Yes, Admiral Halsey is braver than I thought.
Do you know why Admiral Halsey came on at the end of Bob's program?
Well, why did Admiral Halsey come on at the end of the Bob Hope program?
He's a rear admiral.
All right, it's your joke. You enjoy it. Tell me, is your mother going to participate in the Navy Day festivities?
Mama's going to be in the parade of ships.
Oh, she's going as Hesperus, the Hesperus, is she?
No, Mama's going to wear her new corset.
Her new corset, huh?
Mama's going as Old Ironside.
Oh. Say, I hope she doesn't carry the impersonation too far.
How?
Well, if your mother thinks she's Old Ironside, she may try to back into some dry dock and get scraped for barnacles. And speaking of barnacles, I wonder if everything is ship-shaped down in Allen's Alley.
Have you a question for them tonight?
Oh, you bet. You know, since gasoline rationing has ended, traffic congestion in the larger cities has become one of the nation's greatest problems. And so our question is, how is the traffic dilemma affecting you?
Shall we go?
As the two sticks said when they saw the tom-tom, let's beat it. It's so good to be back in Allen's Alley again, Portland. I wonder if the senator is in tonight. Let's see.
Somebody, I say, somebody's thumped on my door.
Yes, Senator.
I represent the solid South.
Well, I know.
I loaned Mason and Dixon the chalk the day they drew the line.
Well, I...
Speak up, son. Out with it. Speak up. Up, that is.
Well, look...
You'll never get anywhere staying silent.
Well, if you just...
Don't try to be another Coolidge, son.
Look, Senator, tell me, how are traffic conditions in Washington?
We're investigating. Congressman, coffee is boiling.
Well... Well...
Coffee's boiling. That's a joke, son. Pay attention, son. Be on your toes.
Well, I'm doing
it. Yeah, you keep missing them, son.
Well, I... Senator, look... The streets are filled with cars. What is the solution of the nation's traffic problem?
One-way traffic.
One-way traffic.
Yeah,
eh?
Mondays all traffic moves only to the east.
Yes.
Tuesdays all traffic moves only to the west.
Yes.
Wednesdays east, Thursdays west.
Now wait a minute, Senator. What about the north and south?
Son, that was settled by the Civil War.
Oh.
Yeah, well, so long, son.
I heard you through the keyhole, Senator. The Senator dropped a picture of Jefferson Davis. Oh, well, I'll give it to him next Sunday. Now let's see what happens here at this next door.
Howdy, Bub.
Well... Well, Mr. Moody, you look a little tired tonight.
Yeah, I've been on the go all day.
Busy, huh?
Yeah, I'm working for a tree surgeon.
Tree surgeon?
I go around leaving Kleenex under weeping willows.
Not so messy a field that way, is it? Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, how do you account for this traffic problem, so many automobiles?
It's progress, Bub.
Progress?
Yeah. Hoover said he'd put a car in every garage.
Yes?
Truman's got two cars parked in front of every house.
What do you think is causing the parking trouble, Mr. Moody?
Oh, it's the housing shortage.
The housing shortage, huh?
Folks is living in garages and putting their cars out on the street.
Well, how are we going to cope with this traffic problem, Mr. Moody?
I'm a pedestrian.
And your solution is?
Every motorist should drop dead. Come on, Bob.
Mr. Moody ought to get in touch with the mayor or Campbell's or something. Now, let's try this next door.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You are expecting maybe Commissar Mazeltoff?
Tell me, Mrs. N., are you concerned with the traffic problem?
Indubitably. If you'll pardon the expression.
Oh, naturally. Well, how are you concerned?
Well, every Friday, I'm inviting all my relatives for a big fish dinner.
I see.
I'm calling downtown the Fulton Fish Market.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Fulton is driving uptown with 20 sturgeon.
Oh, the whole dinner is nothing but sturgeon, huh?
Well, the sturgeon I'm cooking all different kinds of styles.
Oh, good, good.
Sturgeon a la king.
Yes.
Sturgeon cacciatore.
Oh, yes.
Also, sturgeon fouillant.
Oriental.
Sturgeon burgers.
Sturgeon burgers. Do you have dessert?
For dessert, I'm serving sturgeon a la mode.
Sturgeon went upstream in the sentence there. Sturgeon, you're serving sturgeon a la mode?
This is a baked sturgeon. On top is a cold sturgeon.
A la mode. Well, with this traffic congestion, Mr. Fulton can't drive up to the Bronx, can he?
It is impossible.
Well, how does he get your fish uptown?
Every Friday, Mr. Fulton downtown is throwing 20 sturgeon in the Hudson River.
Well, how do the 20 sturgeon find their way up to the Bronx?
Ah, Mr. Fulton is throwing in a herring and yelling, "Boys, follow him."
Well, that brings us to the last house in the alley.
Hello, hello, we're here to say hello.
Just a minute, boys. Before you get into your theme song, tell me, have you written any new songs for us this week?
Have you heard? I put a blank check in my pajamas at night in case I have to buy that dream.
No.
Have you heard? My Irene's a village queen, but she's always taking Benzedrine.
No.
We also wrote a blues song.
Blues song? What is it called?
I got to walking up Fifth Avenue, crossing 59th Street, stepping over the gutter on my way uptown blues.
Now look, boys, look. Look, tonight we happen to be mulling over the traffic problem.
We got just the song you want.
Traffic song? How does it go?
Get it, Tim. If you're a motorist in New York, you can't drive your car a block. In the traffic, you get jammed. And your rear end, you get rammed. Don't just sit there at the wheel, looking like a big schlemiel. Take a tip from me, use the BMT, and sell your Oldsmobile.
If you'll step into the Junior Mrs. Department, we'll meet the five DeMarco sisters. With Maestro Al Goodman at the baton, the DeMarco sing, the Atchison, Topeka, and the you-know-what.
Do you hear that whistle down the line? Figure that's engine number 49. He's the only one that's down that way. On the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe. Atchison.
Gentlemen, a brisk report from Kenny Delmar.
There's an easy way to get more pleasure from tea, a more gracious way to enjoy it. That's in Tenderleaf Tea Balls. Modern, convenient, better in every way. Tenderleaf Tea Balls are first choice, the favorite of the American housewife. Yes, Mrs. America prefers Tenderleaf Tea Balls, and her standards are the highest in the world. The cup quality of your tea is of first importance. Its fragrance, flavor, and all-around goodness as you lift the cup to your lips. To provide that, Tenderleaf Tea Balls are made with famous-for-flavor Tenderleaf brand tea, always supremely delicious. The individual packets of tasteless filter paper add convenience, ease of handling, simplicity, and speed. When you want a cup of quick comfort in a hurry, just pop a Tenderleaf Tea Ball in your cup, zip in boiling water, and there's superb tea, quick comfort when you need it most. So for every good reason, ask your grocer for Tenderleaf brand Tea Ball.
Maestro Al Goodman has just played I Wish from the song I Wish I Knew. Mr. Goodman's band numbers have something in common with his horses. They never finish either. And now, say, Portland, will you put down the red herringbone carpet for our guest?
Who's coming tonight?
Well, we have a great surprise tonight, Portland. Last week, as you possibly read in the papers, a New York policeman made his first appearance as an opera star at the Civic Center. He was a great success. Now, tonight, we have another unknown singing sensation. John Charles Muckenfoot.
City too?
Oh, yes, for many years. John Charles Muckenfuss is known as the singing street cleaner.
Well, where did you find him?
Well, I was going down to see that new picture, Guest Wife, at the Criterion. Claudette Colbert is in it, and Don Ameche is also in the picture, and he doesn't invent anything. And I thought it might be a novelty to go in and see the picture. And as I arrived at the front of the theater, from behind a large can, I heard a beautiful voice. It was John Charles...
Oh, this must be Mr. Muckenfuss now.
Well, get ready. You take his broom and helmet, Portland.
Okay.
Come in.
Friends, is this the Tenderleaf Tea Program?
Yes.
Oh, it is? Oh, that's peachy. Then you must be Fred Allen.
Yes, that's true.
Well, if you're Fred Allen, you're just the man I want to see, and, well I don't exactly want to see you either because you're not very pretty to look
now,
at.
Now, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Wait a minute, Bud. Who are you?
Well, I am Ursula Twing. Yes, Ursula Twing. And I am a lawyer.
You're a lawyer?
Yes. Do you want to feel my briefcase?
Well, no. Take your word for it.
I am a lawyer, all right. And my last case was Delk versus the Acme Poultry Market.
The Acme Poultry,
No, it was. Yes, it was.
The
yes,
Acme,
yes,
all right.
It was, yes. And my client, Mrs. Delk, was buying a live chicken, and after the chicken had been weighed, it laid an egg.
So what?
Well, the poultry market claimed the egg, and so I sued, and the court ruled caveat emptor, and so the egg was put back in the chicken.
The egg was put back. Well, all right, so the egg is back in the chicken. What has all this got to do with me?
Well, you're in grave trouble, Mr. A. Allen. Yes, not exactly grave either because I don't think it'll send you that far.
No.
But my client is suing.
Your client?
Yes, Charlie McCarthy. Tonight, you appeared on Edgar Bergen's program.
Under protest,
yes,
that's
and I
true.
Didn't. And you said...
This makes no sense then.
No, it said... and you said too much, and you said some very nasty things about Charlie, and you've just driven that little boy into a tizzy.
Oh, I have, huh?
Yes, and you're a very bad boy.
Now, look here, Twing. You and Charlie McCarthy don't scare me. I'll fight this thing through to the Supreme Court. And if that doesn't work, I'll go right over Frankfurter's head, straight to Mr. District Attorney.
Well, you can, as far as I'm concerned, you can go to, straight to anywhere you want. But I was here to serve you with a subpoena.
A subpoena.
And if you had better, you are ordered to appear in court next Sunday, and you had better be there too, Smarty.
If you had anything left over from the other program, put it in here, you know. We can all be... I'm supposed to appear in court, and what happens if I don't show up?
Well, if you don't show up, you know what happened to Pierre Laval? Boom, boom. Viva la Charlie McCarthy.
Really going to sue you, Mr.
Well,
Allen.
Look at this summons here. It says trial will be held on this program next Sunday. Why, that little wooden runt. I ought to pull his legs off and make lollipop sticks out of him. I ought to go back over there again.
This must be John Charles Muckenfuss, the singing street cleaner.
See, it probably is. Come in. Well, who are you, son?
I'm Frank Sinatra.
I'm sorry I haven't time to talk now, son. I'm expecting John Charles Muckenfuss, the singing street cleaner.
Well, Mr. Muckenfuss sent me over. See, he can't make it. He got an emergency call.
A street cleaner getting an emergency call?
On 10th Avenue. It was a rush job.
Yeah, here we are on the air, and our guest star is over on 10th Avenue performing a broomectomy.
Well, Mr. Allen, Mr. Muckenfuss said maybe I could take his place.
Well, I'm sorry, son. You know, this isn't one of those quiz programs where any schnook can come in off the street and take over the microphone. We only use stars.
Yes, sir.
It's nothing personal, you understand?
Oh, I understand, sir.
We can only use people with talent.
I have talent.
Really? Yeah. Who said so?
My mother.
Oh. Well, tell me, would you step just a little closer to the microphone, son, if you will?
I'm sorry, is this all right?
Just a little farther back, if you will, please.
See, I don't seem to get the hang of it.
No, it's a little difficult. Have you been on the radio before, son?
Well, yes, I've been on once or twice.
Oh, really? Yeah. What did you say your name was again?
Sinatra.
Sinatra. Sinatra. You're not related to Sam Sinatra.
No.
I used to know a Sam Sinatra up in New Rochelle. He was a glass blower in an optician's up there. If people came in with dirty glasses and couldn't see to get out of the store, Sam would blow on the glasses.
No, I don't know Sam. No, I don't know him. I'm Frank Sinatra.
You're Frank Sinatra. And you say you're in radio?
Yes, I'm on for Old Gold Cigarettes.
Oh, are you the guy who squeezes the honey out of the apple on the...
No, you see, I do the singing.
Frank Sinatra. Hey, you weren't formerly with the Yacht Club, boy. I see a little brine on your lapel there.
No, I had sour pickle for lunch.
Oh, did you? You shouldn't eat pickles with those short arms, son. The dill drips on you.
See, I have the same trouble with sodas, you know. I have a short neck and I can't reach the straws.
Oh, really? Well, how do you drink a soda?
I pour it out, pour the soda out on the counter, lap it up.
Oh, excuse
me. I lost that up.
I have short teeth. Every time I bite a hot dog, all I get is a mouthful of mustard.
You know, once I knew a guy with a... Once I knew a guy with a short nose, he couldn't smell anything unless he put his face in it.
Oh, really? Well, this is all mighty, mighty interesting, Mr.
Sinatra.
Oh, Sinatra. Gosh, it's going to disappoint millions of music lovers. John Charles Muckenfuss, the singing street cleaner, not here. I wonder how long he'll be over there on 10th Avenue.
He said it looked like a long session.
Long session, eh?
The cowboys from Rodeo are parading.
Muckenfuss... Muck and Fuss may be tied up all night.
Uh-huh.
Dad, and right here in the program, we're supposed to have a song.
I can sing a number, Mr. Allen.
Well, all right, son, we're stuck. You've got me over a barrel. What do you want to sing?
How about, it might as well be spring.
All right, but don't drag it out, son.
I'll try my best.
Restless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumpy as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I had spring fever, but I know it isn't spring. I am starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Why should I have spring fever when it isn't even spring? I keep wishing I were somewhere else, walking down a strange new street, hearing words that I have never heard from a girl I've yet to meet. I'm as busy as a spider spinning daydreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing, but I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well be spring. It might as well.
Frankie, that voice, Frankie, I didn't even recognize you before. Why didn't you tell me? Gosh, how time flies. To think that I started you on your career.
Yeah, I remember when I came to you for advice.
Oh, you wanted to know whether you should take up singing or open a haberdasher store in Kansas City.
Yeah, and you told me to stick to singing.
Ah, who knows? If you had opened that haberdasher store in Kansas City, today you might be president.
Oh, I couldn't be president, Fred. No. I can't play the piano.
Oh, that's... Well, tell me, Frank... That singing you just did, is that the type of thing you're doing on the radio?
Yes, don't you think my style has possibilities, Fred?
Yes, Frank, but you have to think of the future. You know you're not getting any younger, son.
Mm-hmm.
New boys are coming along. Perry Como, Dick Hames, Carmen Lombardo, Frank Munn, and the others.
I think I see what you mean, Fred. Where will I be 50 years from now?
That's probably what your insurance company would like to know. But if we're going to stay in radio, Frank, there's only one kind of a program we can do when we're old men.
Fred, you mean...
Hillbilly.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, hillbilly singers don't ripen until they're 80. I know I've been in warm studios with...
But Fred... Gee whiz, Sinatra hillbilly after all.
Ah, don't worry, Frank. I can fix everything. I know the king of the hillbillies, Zeke Manners.
Ah, Fred.
I can see it all, Frankie. 50 years from now, 1995, we're broadcasting from a little two-watt station in Nutley, New Jersey. You and I are standing there in our bare feet, with our floppy hats. Zeke Manners steps to the microphone and says,
"Howdy, folks. Zeke Manners and his happy hillbillies are on the air. Let her rip." Howdy, howdy, friends and neighbors. This is Zeke Manners and the whole gang. So who's your cold shot? The Swoon Creek Choir, Uncle Zip, Lily Bell, the Hokie Mountain Boys, and those hillbilly twins, Happy Sinatra and Uncle Hezzy Allen. First, I want you to meet Lily Bell.
Howdy, folks. These shoes is killing me.
And here's the Coon Creek Choir. And here they be, them scarecrows fresh from the cornfields, Pappy Sinatra and Uncle Hezzy Allen.
Howdy, Pappy.
Well, howdy, Uncle Hezzy.
Tell me, Pappy, how many hairs onto a pig's face?
Next time we shave, count them. Uncle, tell me, what has four legs and flies?
A dead whore.
No, our table at dinner time. Well, folks, now that we've laughed ourselves sick, Happy Sinatra and Uncle Hezzy Allen sing, "Open up them pearly gates."
Listen here, all you sinners. If you want to get to heaven, heaven, better get down on your knees and pray.
All you gambling skinheads, better quit saying 7-Eleven. Get yourself prepared for Judgment Day.
Open up them pearly gates. Open up them pearly gates. Open up them pearly gates for me. Hallelujah. When you hear that trumpet sound, I'll be coming home at last. Open up them pearly gates for me.
Just a word or two. Whatever concerns the family table is important to us all, and here's a good example. Remember the letters FNE for flavor, nutrition, economy. Bluebonnet margarine gives all three, flavor, nutrition, economy. Think of it, not just one, not just two. Bluebonnet margarine gives you all three. You get flavor, delicious flavor, so fresh, delicate, and country sweet that it makes other foods taste twice as good. You get nutrition, proved nutrition. Delicious Bluebonnet is a real food, approved by nutrition experts. Rich in food energy and in vitamin A, too. And there's economy in using Bluebonnet. It costs so little you can afford to spread. It's a product of the makers of Fleischmann's yeast. That fact alone tells you its quality through and through. Remember, Bluebonnet is the margarine that gives all three. Flavor, nutrition, economy. Ask for it tomorrow.
Thank you, Kenny. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest next week will be Edgar Berg.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast every week over the World Wide Web. I'm your host, Justine Ward. Fred Allen was a topical satirist. Friends who knew him said his pockets were always stuffed with newspaper stories that he turned into jokes. The next show features another famous musical talent, Oscar Levant. You'll enjoy his humor in a funny sketch about getting a gig as a musician, as well as his wonderful classical piano style. Fred Allen kept many of the same cast members over the decades. The squeaky voice girl you hear is his wife, Portland Hoffa. In real life, she had a soft, gentle speaking voice, but she created the character early in her radio career when she squeaked into the mic with stage fright. The public loved it, and Portland, with the squeak, stayed in the show. Enjoy the Fred Allen Show with guest star Oscar Levant, first broadcast June 23, 1946, on NBC, rebroadcast for the armed forces overseas.
I say that Yankee pigeon plucker will be here in a minute, kiddie. The Fred Allen Show, with Fred's guest, Oscar Levant, Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Fenley as Titus Moody, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And until I start tooting the claghorn, my name is Kenny Delmar. Tonight we bring you a big tease you can still get for the same price, 30 minutes of your time. And here he is, Fred Allen! Fred, is the new cheese ceiling going to affect you?
Oh, yes, Kenny. We had to cut down in our house. This week we had to let two mice go. One of the mice had been with us a long time. He was a field mouse, but he developed sinus trouble and had to move indoors, so he came with us. He was like one of the family. As he left the house, the little mouse had tears in his eyes, Kenny, and seemingly he understood. Oh, it's a nice thought, don't you think? Yeah. Pay a tribute to a departed mouse. I mean, to stop in our daily hustle and bustle just to say au revoir to a mouse. I think
it is. But why did they raise the price of cheese, Fred?
Who knows, Kenny? Cheese is made from milk. Milk comes from the cow. The cow only eats grass. Grass doesn't cost anything, so why the price of cheese should go up, I don't know.
Maybe it's the wear and tear on the cow.
Well, that could be. The cow is always being victimized, Kenny. You know, even to get a quart of milk, the farmer has to pull something on a cow. If the cow could only talk, it would probably say...
Mr. Allen!
Well, of course. Well, Portland, pull up an old bent kilowatt and sit down. What is the scuttlebutt this evening?
Mama says that you're going on information, please. Mama says with you, it may be the last information, please, of all time.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Well, you can tell your mother that I have been on information, please, before.
Mama says the last time they had to give away so many sets of encyclopedias that there isn't a moron left in the country.
Aren't you forgetting yourself?
I don't get it.
Rejoice in your ignorance, daughter. I may surprise you on information, please.
Do you know much knowledge?
Do I know knowledge? Well, I know algebra.
Say something in algebra.
You wouldn't understand it, Portland. I only speak broken algebra. I know astronomy, too. Do you know what astronomy is?
Astronomy is the science which treats of the celestial bodies, of their position, magnitude, history, and their destiny.
Portland.
Fool around with me.
Tell her fool around with you. Tell the truth. Tell the truth now. You borrowed somebody's mouth to say that sentence.
Mr. Einstein I'm dumb.
You know Albert Einstein?
No, Max Einstein. He lives in our house.
Oh, Max.
You'll end up like the radish that wasn't eaten.
The radish that wasn't eaten?
You'll be seen, but not heard.
You called in your own writer for that line. But speaking of radishes, that would be a good place to put that mouse line that didn't get anything along. The mouse could eat the radish and we'd hear something. Now, speaking of radishes, I think, Portland, I think it's time we joined that old bunch down in Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, this week, the New York Telephone Company celebrated its 50th anniversary. And so our question is, now that it has been with us for 50 years, what is your reaction to the telephone?
Shall we go?
As Mrs. Cassidy said to Mr. Cassidy when someone asked him to buy another bond, let's hop along. what a delightful night in Allen's Alley, Portland. I guess the senator's eating again. I just saw some possum claws come flying out the window. Let's knock.
Somebody banged my door.
Yes, I...
You know my name, son. I'm Hoosiers. Senator Hoosiers, that is.
Claghorn.
Yeah, Claghorn's my name. I was just putting you to the test.
Senator, you're in rare form tonight.
I'm rip-roaring, son. I'm on the razzle-dazzle. I'm jollified.
You're jollified, eh?
Yeah,
well,
son.
What happened?
I saw a ball game today.
Doubleheader, hey?
The Yankees beaten. Wahoo!
Now, wait a minute. How could the Yankees lose?
The umpire was from the South.
How do you know?
Well, after the umpire called three bowls on the batter.
After three bowls?
He called a weevil.
You must have had a great day.
Who did them pigeon-plucking Yankees to a fare thee rootin' tootin' well?
You mean you...
Yeah, I gave old Bill Dickey the bird.
You,
Dickey Bird, that's a joke.
I know it.
I keep lobbing them up to you.
Well, now, look.
You keep bobbling.
Now, let me tell you...
Admit it, son, you're just a joghead. Pop, that is.
Now, wait a minute. Too far, Senator. Now, wait a minute. What about this 50th anniversary of the telephone?
Telephone was invented by a Southerner, Alexander Graham Bell.
Alexander Graham Bell was a Southerner?
Graham is a cracker. Georgia, that is.
Oh. Tell me, Sam, how does the telephone work in the South?
Southern service is the best in the country.
You mean?
For 50 years, there's only one call in the South that hasn't been answered.
What call? I should have had Nelson Eddy come in for that one note. Well, if Chloe doesn't answer that, she's no longer among the living. Oh, well, let's see if Mr. Moody is still up.
Howdy, bud.
Your arm is in a sling, Mr. Moody.
Yeah, I got my hand caught in the milking machine.
It must hurt.
No, it don't hurt, none. But my fingers is 14 inches long.
Tell me, Mr. Moody, what is your comment on the telephone?
Why, I can't say too much. I got a small mouth.
A small mouth?
Yep. I can spit through a keyhole without wetting the key.
Say, I'd like to see that sometime.
I'll arrange it.
Good. But what about the telephone?
Why, a fella come around about 40 years ago and sold me a telephone on a party line.
I see.
Put a big bell under my bed.
A bell, hey?
All night that confounded bell was ringing.
Uh-huh.
The bell would wake up my dog, he'd start barking.
Yeah?
Barking would wake up the hens, they'd start clucking.
Mm-hmm.
The clucking would wake up the cows, they'd start mooing.
Yeah?
Mooing would wake up my wife, she'd start yapping.
Yes, that must have been terrible.
Yeah, with the ringing, the barking, the clucking, the mooing, and the yapping, it was bedlam.
Well, say, you must have been a nervous wreck.
One night, I couldn't stand it no more.
You took action?
I jumped out of my sleeping bag, I pulled that ding-a-linging nuisance out by the roots and flung it out into the night.
Gosh.
That was 40 years ago.
And you haven't had a phone since?
No. Last week, a fella come around trying to hoodwink me into putting in another telephone.
I see.
He opened his toolkit and took out a big bell.
Yeah?
I flew into a swivet.
You... you told him off, eh?
Yeah. I said, get the bell out of here. So...
Titus uses strong language. It sure has muscles in it. Well, let's try this next door.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Edward Everett Horowitz.
Tell me, Mrs. Ann, what about this telephone anniversary?
Thanks to the telephone, today I am Mrs. Pierre Nussbaum.
Really?
When I am a young girl, footloose and fancy,
yeah,
my name... My maiden name is Pom Pom Schwartz.
Pom Pom Schwartz.
Also, I'm having one sister, Caress.
Caress Schwartz?
Yes. She is marrying Skippy Mandelbaum.
Skippy, yeah.
Skippy is doing very well. A pickle salesman specializing in odd lots by appointment.
Your sister married, but you couldn't get a boyfriend, huh?
No, I am washing my dainties in locks.
Uh-huh.
Also, I'm brushing with tufts in the teeth.
That didn't help?
I am still poor Miriam.
Oh. what about the telephone?
One Halloween night,
yeah,
I'm sitting home alone, bobbing in sour cream for red beets. The phone is ringing.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying, hello.
Hello.
A voice is saying, Cookie, will you marry me?
And you?
I am saying, positively. And the next day I am a bride and yikes away to Niagara Falls.
And that is why you say?
Thanks to the telephone company, today I am Mrs. Pierre Nussbaum.
But why be so grateful to the telephone company?
Well, the night Pierre is calling and proposing,
yeah,
they're giving him a wrong number.
Oh. Well, that brings us to the milkweed covered cottage at the end of the alley. Let's try here.
Chantivy all and tally ho, Falstaff here, the rhyming schmo.
The king of the jingle. Have you fresh poems tonight?
Oh, indubitably. Hester, said the little fox, I feel quite gay since I found I'm related to old IJ.
No.
Or the bartender shouted, hooray, look here. I've got a pen that writes under beer.
No.
How about this? They kept on clinking glasses each time they took a drink, but Mother kept on clinking till she wound up in the clink.
Now, wait a minute. That is the straw that upset the camel's sacroiliac. Tonight we are discussing the anniversary of the telephone.
And you find me prepared.
And what is your telephonic tidbit called?
The Forgotten Man.
How does it go?
Sound the trumpet, the chant in tone. It's the anniversary of the telephone. The rabble is cheering Alexander Graham Bell, who invented the phone that has served man so well. Motion picture fans shout in voices screechy. They think the phone was invented by Don Amici. But on this anniversary of the telephone, the man I hail is a mug. He's no statistician or skilled technician. He's the guy who invented the slug.
The Falstaff pats himself on his ample back. We turn to greet the five DeMarco sisters, accompanied by Maestro Al Goodman and his personal philharmonic. The DeMarco sing, I Don't Know Why, I Love You Like I Do. Girl.
Romancing. The only time you owe me is when we're dancing. I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why I just do.
do. Woo, woo. Oh, I don't know why you thrill me like you do. I don't know why you just do. You never seem to want my romancing. Well, the only time you hold me is when we're dancing. I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why I just do. I guess it's only you I love.
That was a pocket edition of They Say It's Wonderful, played by Al Goodman and his G.I. Orchestra. G.I. meaning Goodman's in-laws. Portland.
Yes?
There's some music on the table. Will you get it for me, please?
Sure.
Thank you, music lovers.
Is that a clarinet you're playing?
What does it look like, a plunger handle? I'm getting a little swing band together.
Do the Good Humor people know about your band?
Well, my five-year contract with the Good Humor people expired last summer. They were awfully nice. They let me keep the chimes and two quarts of pistachio.
But where can you get musicians?
Well, I put an ad in Downbeat, that music magazine. The minute my ad appeared, things started to pop.
What happened?
Well, yesterday, Portland, my agent, Solid Silverman, called me. I started over to Solid's office. Ah, this must be the place. What is this sign on the door? Solid Silverman, musician's agent, Liebert Victor Guy, and Carmen Lombardo all slept here. Well, I guess I might as well go in.
Greetings, Jake.
Hello, Mr. Silverman.
Call me Solid. Can't take five. Put me some skin.
Skin?
Shake hands. Let me press your flesh.
Say, Solid, what about my ad for musicians in Downbeat?
Jackson, have I got a hep combo lined up for you?
No kidding.
I got a guy who plays a hot tally-ho horn and a terrific washboard bass.
The washboard bass is good, eh?
Good. When he plays Old Man River on the washboard, he makes thuds.
Then my band is all set.
Yeah, I got everything but a piano player.
I can't have a band without a piano player.
Well, don't worry, Alan. Some guy phoned me this morning. I told him to come in for an audition. Hey, that must be the guy now. Come in.
Is Mr. Solid Silverman in?
Oscar Levan. Oscar Levan, what are you doing here?
I saw an ad for a piano player in Downbeat.
Oscar, you read Downbeat?
It wasn't my copy. I read it over Toscanini's shoulder.
But Oscar, you wouldn't play in a band. You're one of our great piano soloists.
Let's be frank. I'm the greatest.
But, Oscar, how can you take a job with a band? You're playing summer concerts at Lewison Stadium and Robin Hood Dell.
Playing outdoor concerts has made me a wreck.
Why?
When I play the piano outdoors in those rustic locales, I can only use one hand.
One hand?
In the other hand, I have to carry a stick to beat the woodpeckers off the piano.
Oh, fine.
One time I was playing trees.
Yeah?
The woodpeckers ate the bark off of three choruses.
Gosh.
Last week, I had to stop in the middle of my concert in Central Park.
What happened?
I was disturbing the sailors and their girlfriends.
Well, I've heard a few of those outdoor concerts, Oscar, and I thought they were wonderful.
I haven't heard a good concert since the last one I played.
But,
I haven't read a good book since the last one I wrote.
But
I haven't heard a good joke since the last one I told.
Have you seen a good picture?
Not lately. I'm waiting for my next picture to come out.
Oscar, how long have you had this inferiority complex?
It's awful, isn't it? The way I tear myself down. With a little concentration, I can convince myself I'm a nobody.
I don't think it's... Well, tell me, what started this?
The script.
My
My psychiatrist says it's from playing piano solos.
Solos?
Being alone at the piano, I find myself with myself. It's boring. I'm not good company. I give myself hallucinations.
Oh, and this produces a phobia?
Yes, I think all people are like me.
Gad, Oscar.
I know, it's a horrible thought.
Oscar, you should get hold of yourself.
Why should I get hold of myself? I might get to like it and become a chiropractor.
Oscar, you have got to get away from yourself.
Why should I get away from myself? I'd rather get away from you. But
I mean, you shouldn't. Your agent is going. I mean, you should occupy your time. Write some music.
I just finished a musical masterpiece.
Really?
It's a symphony for oboe, accompanied by 10 men blowing police whistles and 2 small boys plucking bundle twine.
Sounds good.
The corn cobblers may record it. I'll know tomorrow.
Oh, really? Good luck. Well, while you're waiting for things to pop with the corn cobblers, why don't you go into radio?
I'd like to. I could have had a job with Hildegard in the Penguin Room.
The Penguin Room, and you refused?
They wanted me to wear a white dickie and waddle to the piano.
Well, the waddle you've got, but where can you get a white dickie today?
Look, Fred, I came up here to get a job with your band. What about it?
But, Oscar, why?
I need a little extra money for my hobby.
What hobby?
Eating.
Eating is your hobby?
I'm a pig. Do me something.
Say, you know, with a pig in my band, I would bring home the bacon.
We can make swill music together. Say, this is getting to sound like the Abbott and Costello Summer Show.
I was wondering who was working with Abbott lately. Well, Oscar, it looks as though my band is ready to go. All we need now is a job.
Hey, Taps, you're all set.
No kidding, Solly.
Yeah, I got 2 offers for your band. One is from the Palace Ballroom at Old Orchard Beach, Maine.
The Palace Ballroom at Old Orchard Beach?
Yeah, 3 rooms and all the clams and coleslaw you can eat.
Well, what's the other offer?
I got a hotel on the outside. Mr. Romanoff. Mr. Romanoff, meet Alan and Levant.
This is Talon. Hui.
Boy, this is Mr. Romanoff.
Sergei Romanoff, owner of Romanoff's Rural Rendezvous.
Romanoff's Rendezvous?
Where the mountains meet the sky and the boiled potato meets the borscht.
Mr. Romanoff.
Shut up! I'm giving you location. You are driving to Rappaport's Ravine. Turning left, you are coming to Goldberg's Gully. Straight ahead is Cassidy's Canyon. Overlook it. Continue then to Nichevo Notch. You are looking across Garfinkel's Gap. There is Romanoff's Rural Rendezvous.
Well, tell me, do you want a band?
I am engaging a small musical aggravation. The member should be versatile and reeking of talent.
We're reeking. It may be talent. Who knows?
What does the band do, Mr. Romanoff?
While the guests are eating breakfast, yes. I am visualizing piano music, something classical.
What number did you have in mind?
You are playing Offenprippetschick?
Well, my piano player doesn't know Offenprippetschick. But here's a breakfast piano medley that might go very well as the guests are feeling for seeds in their orange juice. All right, Oscar.
existence. I am closing my eyes. It is Shostakovich.
Well, what? What time is breakfast at Romanov's rendezvous?
Every morning at 6 o'clock, my brother-in-law, a part-time Cossack, is strumming a balalaika. This is waking up gently the guests.
We get up at 6?
At 5. You are waking up the brother-in-law.
At 5?
Shut up! After breakfast, you are washing the dishes, making the beds, boning the sturgeons, and cleaning chicken. For 2 hours in the afternoon, you are going to the beach.
We can go in the water?
Only if somebody is drowning. You are the lifeguard.
Well, Oscar, what do you think?
Let's do it. I've never made a right decision in my life. Why start now?
Well, Mr. Romanoff, about the music.
Ah, music. Music is again at lunch. I am visualizing singing. Possibly a small choir. As the guests are eating, from the kitchen should be coming singing. Your band is making with a small choir?
How about a choir with two voices singing in different keys?
How is this sounding?
Let's go, Oscar.
My pretty Mandy, there's a minister handy, and it sure would be handy. So don't you linger. Here's the ring for your finger. Isn't it a humdinger? Come along and let the wedding chimes bring happy times for Andy.
It is not exactly dynamite.
What do you want? Somebody to bone sturgeons, clean chickens, make beds, and sing like Lily Castellanos?
I am not insisting on versatility, only perfection.
How about it, Oscar?
Let's take the job, Fred. Just one summer I want to spend playing indoors.
Well, okay, Mr. Romanoff, when do we start?
Don't rush me. Who is hiring you? The dinner at Romanoff's rendezvous is dancing. I am visualizing a peppy band.
Okay, Mr. Romanoff, get a load of Allen and Levant's Dixieland Band with Hot Lip Allen at the clarinet and Sugar Child Levant at the Mighty Steinway. Let's go, boys.
Thank you.
Patrol, rebroadcast for our armed forces overseas. And now it's goodbye from Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius, who is heard as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed, who is Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Fenley, who does the part of Titus Moody, Kenny Del Mar in the role of Senator Claghorn, the DeMarco sisters, Al Goodman and his orchestra, Fred's special guest, and Fred Allen himself.
I'm sure you noticed the comic shots that Fred Allen aimed at Jack Benny. Their good-natured feud was one of the longest-running gags in radio, and I hope you'll join us next week when we bring you Fred Allen with Jack Benny as his guest. Thank you so much for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. Until next week, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.